Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 33. The Bible verses are Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, and it reads, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." That's Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. We are presently, as I make this recording, in Passion Week. Many of us who were at church yesterday, if they still celebrate it, we have Palm Sunday. You know, we celebrate the story of, or the account. I like to use that word account versus story. Story sounds like some fairy tale. It's nothing fairy-tale-ish about Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God incarnate. But it's a story of him coming toward his last days on earth. One of the things we were discussing some of the women of the church and I, we were talking about, you know, the fact that Jesus only, you know, his ministry was 3 years long, around 3 years long. They said that he started his ministry about at the age of 30, and at the age of 33 was when he was crucified. And how at the beginning of his ministry, it was very obscure. People hardly saw it. And then he went through a period where, everybody knew about Jesus. They loved him. They were crowding him. They wanted him to heal them. And then it was a time when he was persecuted. Everywhere he went, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law were sending people there to harass him. It reminded me of that saying, "Lord of the flies," because they were acting like flies. They were always around him. In doing that. And so, and then he was eventually, as we are coming on this week, we know that yesterday we celebrated the triumphal entry, where he came on a donkey, which was very significant because he was explaining his kingship, and he was a peaceful king. You know, he didn't come on a white stallion, with a sword drawn or anything like that. He is the Prince of Peace, and we want to accept him. And those who accept him really do become children of God, true children of God. We will move along, and we will go back by the time we get around Thursday. This is the beginning of the Passover at that time. And Jesus was getting ready for that Passover, and one of his disciples just decided it was too much for him, and he was going back to that false god, that old false god, and money for him, and he betrayed Jesus. And we're going to find about the, you know, what we call Good Friday. But before that, we will find Jesus in the garden and how he's praying. He's praying to his Father, asking his Father that he wouldn't have to go through the separation that it was going to take for him to carry our sins away. But he ended with thy will, not my will, but thy will be done, which of course is what we need to remember in all of our prayers. God calls us to pray with fervency. We fervently pray for things so that we can know that, you know, our God, He is an awesome God. He hears us. He definitely hears us. And we do our part. We, you know, we come to Him unashamedly about those things. But Thy will, not mine, be done. And this particular, these verses from Isaiah comes from the major prophet. You know, he's considered one of the major prophets because of the amount of things that he has written. But he has written. It was like 700 years before the revelation of who the Messiah was going to be. And yet we see here so graphically what he was saying about this Messiah. You know, he was going to bore our griefs and carry our sorrows. He does that even now. I sometimes forget that. And I start again taking on my own griefs and taking on my own sorrow. I was thinking, it was a few days back, and I was feeling my 73, almost 74 years, where, you know, my body, is, the aches and the pains of my body comes up, you know, every once in a while, and I'm not as young as I used to be, of course. And the other thing I think about, you know, my eyes don't focus the way I would like them to focus, and whatever. And I was just pondering on that and feeling a little sorry for myself on a particular day. And the Lord just, I had to thank Him. I said, Father, thank You for reminding me that You are bigger than my aches and pains. You are bigger than anything that is adversely happening in my life. Because God is very clear in His Word. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in Him. And so part of the reason that I have that time of quiet right at the top of my day is that I want to reset my mind from that lie that it wants to keep clinging to me. That, you know, I got to take care of business. I got to do this. Whatever. I forget that it's all about the Lord. It's about what He has done on my behalf and the Spirit that He has placed inside of me and the things that I can do to fan up that Spirit. You know, one of the things that I can do is to ask. I want to keep asking, Father, fill me up with Your Spirit. Fill me up with Your Spirit. I even say fill me up to overflowing. I want to overflow with the presence of the Lord. That is what God wants of me as well, as I was saying earlier. Thank goodness for the people who walked before me. I'm so grateful for them. And I'm thankful for the way that the Lord worked in me to follow the lead of the people. It is my pride that can get me into trouble. I have to learn from other people. And definitely, I want to learn from other Christians. And remember this, that I do not own the market on giftedness. But whatever gift God has given to me, I'm definitely called to use it. But on the same token, I need to understand that other people are gifted as well. And I want to encourage them to use that gift. And I myself, I want to learn from what they have learned, the things that, you know, they have learned, take notes on things that they have said. God uses, you know, all people. I was so grateful, you know, as I was in church, and I love my pastor because he loves the Lord. He definitely loves the Lord, and he was just speaking, you know, about Jesus is Lord, and He's the King, and, you know, and we lift up His name to him. And that there are ups and downs in the Christian life, but when we are not going to not have suffering. We all will suffer on this side of heaven, but we don't suffer alone. He takes our hands and he helps us, so we don't have to run to the old food. You know, that's the problem, the food. That's what we deal with here in Bible for food. We know that we have to do something about the food. We can say, it's not just about the food and so and so, but this is the point, that at some point we need to deal with the food so that it is not coming back over and over again. You know, we may not have many communities where we don't know what to do. You know, certain things that we don't know. Maybe we don't know how to parent adult children. And we don't know a community of people who do know the Lord, and they have had victory over, you know, adult children, showing how to do that. I want to learn from them. I think about that with people like Stormy or Martin. Yeah, I read her books. I not only read her books, I reread them. And I follow the example that she tells me. I follow her, what she, I look at her prayers and I pray about them. I'm not making her into a god or anything. I'm just knowing that she knows the Lord, and I'm following what the Lord has shown her to do. And this is what I encourage those of you who continue to struggle with the food. Follow directions. You know, have the humility to follow the directions when it comes to the food, and really follow it. I thought about that in terms of, as I was reading this morning, the introduction, how on that, as we get to that middle part, and it talks about the four things that we do, break it down. We break it down to four big things that if you're not doing it, it's quite possible that you, when the temptation comes, you will go back into the temptation, but you don't really have to. You don't have to. A written food plan is not legalism. Regardless of what people say, if I would say, listen to the people who say that it is legalism and ask yourself two questions. Number one, do they have the problem? Do they have the problem of the overeating? You know, I was listening to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about giving advice to somebody about what they should do about their birthing, you know, when they had the baby. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, you haven't had a baby yet, so let's think about that, a minute. So, yeah, people give advice a dime a dozen. So if indeed you're listening to people who are telling you that a food plan is, legalism and stuff like that, find out, have they ever suffered from compulsive eating? All right. And then the second thing to ask them, all right, if they did and they don't have a food plan, how well is it working? Are they going on and on about how wonderful it is to have the freedom of not having a food plan, and they don't have any back-to-back abstinence. You know, they have a month here or maybe 2 days here or whatever. What do they have in terms of that? You know, so you ask questions of people. And then the other thing you want to ask too, do they know your Lord? Do they know and do they speak about Jesus? Because it's very easy to get pushed off the road if we are, that's, how they say, if you don't want a haircut, you stay out of the barber seat. You stay out of that place in doing that. And so we learn certain skills and whatever, but we listen to the Lord. And we, even though we know the Lord very, very strongly, we also know sin. And that food is a sin issue. It's a sin issue. And I can tell you with all my heart, you know, follow these things. There's only four things. Get a food plan and stick to it without deviation. I'm not a demon saying this to you. I am one who knows Jesus as Lord. And I am one who the Lord has kept me abstinent for 36 years. And I am one who cares deeply about people, especially those who know Jesus, who continue to suffer with this, who suffer with the food. Number one, adopt a written food plan. Adopt it. You know, when you adopt a child, you don't, he or she is not your child just for 2 days out of the week, and then you throw them back to the, you know, adoption agency. They become yours. They're your child. You keep them and you take care of them and you nurture them. They're yours. So if you have a food plan, it's yours. You know, stop, you know, doing it, and then one moment that's throwing it down the whatever. That's why I have said to people, think of it as a vow that you do on one day at a time. One day at a time, that no matter what, you are not going to break that vow. You're not doing it. And to understand that once we make any kind of vow like that, the demon force will be behind you. It will come up to try to get you to change your mind again. And changing your mind again is going to be wasting time and money and resources. And then the whole thing, too, you can learn to see it coming, because usually it comes in terms of portion control. Trying to eke out a little bit more. You know, oh, well, I'm supposed to have 4 ounces, but it says, you know, 4.5. I'm not going to really put that back. That, you know, that's silly. You know, it's close enough. You know, I'll do that. Or it says that, you know, I don't eat this certain type of food, but it's only a little bit of it there. So just let me do it. So, you know, surrender to portion control at every meal. Work honestly with a food sponsor. That's very, very important, because part of staying abstinent is that you yourself will become a sponsor. That we give away what was so freely given to us. But if, you know, you don't learn that sponsorship, you won't do it. But the fourth one is the biggest one, about the prayer. We must stay very, very close to the Lord through prayer. The Bible says, keep in step with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. You won't do it. You will stay very close to the Lord. You keep in step with Him. And so we all know Jesus as Lord. And I would say, walk as a child of the light. You do not have to suffer with the food. One day at a time, you can be clear, clean, and committed. Don't let your pride, you know, get you off track. It's too much kingdom work to be done. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to Jesus and remember the horrible price He went, so that we can carry this message into the world. And I can tell you from experience, my own experience, but also working with other people, get into the food, and for that time when you're in the food, you're wasting time. You'll be wasting time. And it's a horrible thing when you know the Lord. So this is the prayer. Father, for many years I was the enemy of the Lord. And I thought I didn't need Him. I thought I was too good for God. You know, that I was good enough, I should say. That was where I was better. And He saved me. And out of gratitude of what He did for me, I want to work for Him. And I can't do it if I'm drunk. I can't do it with excellence. I want to be excellently by excellent by him.